John chapter number 5. Amen. It is good to be in church tonight. Amen. Appreciate the good singing, good choir singing, good specials. Real blessing. Amen. I certainly enjoyed being here. And good to see you, good preacher brethren. I do appreciate y'all coming. Feel very worthy for y'all to come hear me preach. Amen. But I do appreciate you back in the meeting. Amen. Brother Brian, good to see Brother Brian. I ain't seen him in a while. And Brother Joe Bryan, I ain't seen him in a while. And of course, saw Brother Hawkins the other night. Been a while since I've seen Brother Hawkins. So I appreciate you, brethren, coming and being in the meeting. Amen. John chapter number 5. I felt like this is where the Lord was leading me tonight for the service. And I trust God will use the message tonight to help us. Very, very simple, simple message. No doubt you've heard it preached on many times. But that is where the Lord put me for this service tonight. If you're physically able to stand, we'll read this portion of Scripture. I plan to read down through verse number 16. And then give you some thoughts from this chapter. Amen. Certainly none you hadn't heard before, but as what the Lord put in my heart, if I can develop what the Lord put in my heart. Amen. And after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. I was reading that and studying that and said that feast was a feast of Jehovah. But now it's been used so much it has become the feast of the Jews. It's amazing how we can take the things of God and so desecrate them. They just now appeal to man. It said, the feast of the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first at the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, and knew he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Look back at verse 6 for the simple thought tonight, the latter part. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? Now, I want to try to preach on that simple thought tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be here in the house of God tonight. Lord, I do pray now you'd use the word of God tonight. May it, God, run and have free course, find lodging, God, in our hearts tonight. And Lord, certainly I don't know who this message might be for. God, it might be for several. It might be for one. It might be for many. But Lord, I pray, God, it would find lodging in the hearts that you have prepared it for tonight. And as I said, bring forth fruit, you be glorified. Help us now, overshadow us, Lord. God, we certainly need you in this message. And Lord, I pray, God, your will would be done, and we'll give you all the glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Wilt thou be made whole? As I thought about this, I thought about the Bible said he was waiting by the water. Of course, the water would have to be troubled, and of course, there's been some debate about that. I know we wouldn't debate that, amen. I've even read where some people don't even think this ought to be in the Bible, amen. But I don't have any problem with that, amen. God used angels to do a lot of things I read about in the Bible. I think if an angel could open up a prison door for Peter, he could certainly go down there and trouble the water, amen. So I don't have any problem with that. But my thought simply is most people want improvement on their lot in life. This man was waiting to get some help, amen, when the water were troubled. And I would say most people in life want an improvement on their lot in life. So society is full of organizations that promise improvement. In other words, they say, you come to us and we can help you. But Jesus said he wanted to give this man more than just help. He wanted to make him whole. Amen. And there's a big difference, amen, between getting help and being getting whole. Amen. A lot of people want help. If you just have to be in church business a while and be the pastor, I know a lot of people want help. I'll be honest with you, the last couple of years in our church, we've had, and I mean in 26 years, I've never seen so many people that want help, but they don't want to be made whole. I mean, they want a place to stay, they want some food, they want some money, they want some gas, they want some clothes, but they don't want to be made whole, amen. And so here in this text, Jesus asked this man, he said, "Sir, will you be made whole? Do you want to be made whole?" So my simple thought is people need more than help. They need to be made whole. Organizations can help us. Amen. The educational system can help us. And you know what? I believe we ought to get education. Amen. But education won't make you whole. But you ought to get an education. It can help you in life. And I promote that. Amen. But education without salvation normally is an abomination. Amen. Then the welfare system can help you. We'd all agree with that. There's a lot of agencies that they can help people, amen, and but it won't make them whole. My daddy, I mentioned my daddy last night. My daddy was a drunk. I mean, my daddy was a shot drunk. He was the town drunk. And I remember many times we would load daddy up and take him off to some home called Alcoholic Anonymous. And daddy would stay there for sometime a month and a half. And they would help him, amen. And he would come home and he had all kind of chips. I can't remember exactly because I was young, but it would be blue or green or yellow chips. And if he would stay sober so long, they'd give him a green chip. And then if he stayed sober so much longer, they'd give him a yellow chip. That might not be the order, but then he stayed sober so much longer, they'd give him a blue chip. We have so many chips right in our house, we look like a sawdust mill. But I'm telling you, it never lasted. He would always end up going back to the liquor. He would always end up going back and getting drunk, amen. But one day a preacher came by our house, amen. And the preacher got him. We hauled him off to a place where they told him about Jesus, amen. And my daddy not only got help, but he got whole, amen. Matter of fact, back in that day, Brother Hawkins, he got made so whole, they brought him to the local high school. Well, at Cottageville, the high school, it was the whole school. They got the whole school out of class from the first grade to the 12th grade. They put us all in the gymnasium, and they brought my daddy down to the gymnasium and got my daddy to tell the whole school what had happened to him. My daddy had a fourth grade education. And my daddy stood there and told him, "I've been to AA, I've been to this drive clinic, I've been to that place, but one day I met Jesus." Amen. So all them places helped him, but only Jesus can make him whole. Amen and amen. And so AA can't help you, but it won't make you whole. Amen. Rehab can help you, but it won't make you whole. And then, of course, y'all might disagree with this, and I think I disagree with it. DSS can help you, but it won't make you whole. Amen. That's the Department of Soviet Services. Amen. Is everybody listening? My point is, organizations can help you, but they can't make you whole. Amen. So help, but not whole. Jesus wants to make us whole. I mean, body, soul, and spirit. The Lord wants to make us whole. Amen. Now notice with me, under this system that this man was under, get in the water while it's moving, under this system, few got help. There was a multitude there, but only the first one that got in the water got made whole. So under this system, few got help. Out of a whole multitude, only just one got help. Amen. And that's normally the way in the system that we think about. Only few even get help. Amen. Not many people that go to drug rehab stay off drugs. Only a few get help. And there are some that stay off, but most of them go right back. In our little church, Brother Neil is a chaplain of a prison, and when he gets them saved in prison and watches them for a while, when they get out, many of them don't have a place to go. And they don't have an address, they won't even let them out. They have men in prison that can't even get out because they don't have an address to go to.
Their time has been served, but they can't get out unless they got an address to go to. So some few years ago, we started being that address. And when they needed a place to go, we had a room, and we would get them out of prison. Brother Lance has watched them. He's watched them in prison. He's watched their life. He's watched their testimony. And if they prove to be true, then when they got out and have a place to go, we bring them to the church. Well, we probably had now, I'm guessing anywhere from 20 to 25 individuals or families that got out, and we got them a place to stay. And we get them a job, and we get them a way to the job. Could I tell you something? The one family we got right now is the only one that's made it. After they get out and they get a job and they get some money, you can see a faraway look in their eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a family. I told Brother Barry right now, we got two families in our church right now. Both of them just got out of jail. One family, Jeremiah and Ida, just got out of prison. We got another family just got out of jail, and they're sleeping and staying in our prayer room. We don't even have a place to put them. They're staying in the prayer room. A lady came down the other day and said, "Preacher, I got a camp. I'm gonna give the church my camper for them to stay in." And so we go set their camp up in the backyard of the church for them to have a place to stay. But I just got a call yesterday. He said, "Preacher, I've been bad on crack, alcohol, drugs." He said, "But I'm through with that. And I appreciate the church and what you're doing for me. But I already see a faraway look in his eye." And I told him on the phone the other night, I said, "Normally, when they get a job and get some money, they get a faraway look in their eye."
Yeah, yeah.
Are you listening? I'm telling you, in this system, only a few got help.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Out of multitudes that you help, only few get it.
Right. Right.
Are you listening?
Right.
Under this system, those that needed the less help got help. The ones that needed less help got help. Hey, if you could get to the pool, you would have got healed. This man needed help most, but he couldn't get to the pool.
Right.
So the ones that, yes, everybody get this?
Yeah.
The ones that needed the last help seemed to get the help. You ever heard that?
Right.
Well, I see this situation over there. Looks like DSS needs to help them. But instead of them getting help, seems like them one up there, they don't really look like they need help. But yet seems like they're getting help, and this crowd here ain't getting help. So the ones that needed less help got the most help. And the one that needed the most help didn't get help.
Yeah, right.
Under this system.
Yeah, right.
Everybody listen.
Yeah,
amen and amen.
Yeah.
Then number three, when you did get help, it was only temporarily.
Yeah.
Amen. So what if you get help and die and go to hell?
Yeah, right.
Is everybody listening?
Right. Yeah, right.
Now note also, I noticed this. I thought this was good. I noticed they wasn't helping one another. It said the first one got there got... Y'all can see that, can't you? They wasn't helping one another get in the pool. Matter of fact, it was every man for himself. In other words, around the pool, it was dog eat dog. When the water starts stirring, if I get to the pool, I'm going to beat you back so I can get there. Amen. So, my point is, that's kind of like our world today. It's a dog-eat-dog world. That's why I'm glad I'm in the church. Amen and amen. The church is not supposed to be a dog-eat-dog situation. Amen. Matter of fact, we're supposed to help one another. Then when you get made whole, hey, you ain't all for yourself. You want to help somebody else. Amen. And so, my point is simply this, that few got help. And those that needed the help most didn't get it. Amen.
Right.
And they weren't helping each other.
Yeah.
But I want you to notice where they were. They was in a place to be made whole. The Bible said they were at what? Where there was five porches.
Right.
And we all know the number five represents grace.
Right.
And the Bible said they was at Bethesda. That means the house of mercy.
Right.
And that was at Jerusalem, which means the city of peace.
Yeah.
So my point is simply this. They was at a place of grace. They was at a place of mercy, and they was at a place of peace. In other words, they were in the right environment to be made whole. Now I'm preaching this Rogersville Baptist Temple. Everybody listening? Could I say you're in a good place tonight to be made whole? God is stirring the waters.
Yes, sir.
God is moving the waters. Waters is the Holy Ghost. Waters is the Word of God. God is troubling the waters.
Amen.
And so just to come in here and leave and not be made whole is an awful thing. Because I'm telling you, ain't a lot of places God's troubling the waters. And he said, you better get in while the waters are moving. Amen and amen. And so they were in a good, good place to get help. In other words, they wasn't hanging around there because nothing would happen. In other words, why would that man have stayed around there that long if something wasn't going on? In other words, he evidently knew that, hey, there was something going on in that place. Now, he wouldn't have stayed around there 30-something years. He'd have done already said, I give up on this place. I'm going to go somewhere else because I ain't got no help in a while. But I'm going to tell you what. He said, no, but there's hope because something's going on around here. And you never tell one service, it might break out and I might get some hope, be made whole. Amen and amen. Now, folks, I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Hey, God ain't always stirring in the church. Sometimes he stirs more than others. And I'm telling you, we're very foolish if we let it pass by and we don't get in on what God's doing. Because if we ever let it pass by and we didn't get it, we'll look back one day and say, oh, I remember when our church, God was stirring the waters. Amen. And so we better get in while God's stirring. Now notice the condition of that crowd that was there. The Bible said they were withered, waiting and mourning.
Yep, right.
There was a withered up crowd. The Bible said they were impotent.
Yep.
That means they had no strength.
Yeah, right.
Amen. But he said, hey, if we can get Jesus down here on the scene, he's going to help this crowd.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible said they were halt, they were withered, they were blind. Well, that describes us, don't it? Before God came our way, we were what? We were halt, withered, and blind. The Bible said we are blind. The God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto us. And we were withered. We couldn't walk. Amen. We were halt. We couldn't walk. We was withered. We couldn't work. There's no other way to get saved other than Jesus come where we were. Amen. And here's my message. Amen. I see the conditions. I see the crowd. And I like this. Jesus came to where there was a need. Have all the billions of people in the world, 6-point-something billion people in the world, that Jesus came to where this man was.
Right.
Amen and amen. And what I'm simply saying, how the multitudes, they should be glad God visited us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Think of all the billions of people in the world, and God would decide to visit here, us at Rogersville Baptist Temple.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, I felt God a few times around here this week. I mean, the first night, it was evident God was here the first night.
Yeah.
Fell a little low the Tuesday night, personally me, maybe not y'all. Then Wednesday night, it picked back up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, while God's a moving, we better get in.
Yeah.
I'm preaching tonight. I say, God, I'm going down there tonight. I ain't trying to press nobody. I ain't got no fancy mess. I just want to try to preach where we are and what God's doing. And I hope you take that and use it.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. Notice, he came to where they were. He came. The Bible said he knew he was there a long time. He's an omnipotent Father. Amen. He said he knew he had been there a long time. I'm glad he comes to where people need help. Amen and amen. And so, point number one is he came to where the need was. Number two, he picked out the worst to make whole, to show others he could do it for them. What? He picked out the man that for 38 years couldn't get in the pool. I figured he must have been about the worst condition than anybody down there. And so he picked out the worst to show the rest they could get some help. I told our church, I said, you know what would be good to happen like that in church? If the worst man in town would get saved. Next week I got home, I'd been preaching somewhere, and the Holy Ghost said, you remember what you preached, right? I said, yeah. He said, the worst man in town. I said, yeah. He said, well, I want you to go see him today. I said, do what, Lord? He said, yeah, y'all going on visitation, go see the worst man in town. I said, Lord, I was just preaching. Now, I wasn't trying to. And God put what I consider the worst man in town, and I got his cousin is coming to church right now. And he's about the second worst. And I was sitting at the table in the fellowship hall the other day, and I knew this man that God told me he killed his daddy. And the other day I was sitting at the table, and I didn't know this was going to come out. And his first cousin was sitting at the table, and he's a drug addict, and we're working with him and trying to get him saved. He's coming to church, him and his wife, and we were sitting around the table drinking a cup of coffee. And he told me the story about the man God told me to go see. And he said, "Brother Alfred, this is the truth." He said, "Preacher, this is the truth." He said he was down there in a bar, and he got in a fight. And he had a guy up against the wall, and he had a knife to his throat. And he said, "Sir, I am fixing to cut your throat." And they said he held him there and held him there, and nobody would do anything, because he said, "If y'all move, I'm going to slit his throat." And while he had him held up against the wall, somebody run down there and got his daddy and said, "Your son's down there about to kill a fella." And his daddy come down there, and he said, "Clifford, turn that boy loose." He said, "Daddy, you stay out of this, I'll kill you." And he said, "Clifford, I told you to put the knife up and let the man go." And Clifford still had him against the wall. And he went over there and grabbed his son, and they wrestled. And the knife somehow ended up cutting Clifford in the head, and blood started running down his face. And Clifford went home and got his gun. And he went up to his daddy's house. His daddy was back in the house. This is a true story, I'm telling you. I just got told this. Always heard how he killed his daddy. And this is what his first cousin, he said, he called his daddy and said, "Daddy, come out the house." And his daddy walked to the door, and he said he had some kind of, like an automatic gun. And he said, blew his daddy's brains all over. He said, "Preacher, I went and slept and swept my uncle's brains off the floor. And God told me to go see him." And so I went down there. Pulled up in his yard. They just caught him for growing $1 million worth of marijuana. I don't know why he ain't in prison. He's been to prison, but he got out. And they just caught him, Brother Joe. I am not exaggerating. This is a true story. It's in the papers. They just caught him for $1 million worth of marijuana. And I pulled up to his house, and I tooted the horn. And his wife comes to the door, and I said, "Is Clifford home?" She said, "He's down there at the barn." I said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." She said, "Go on back there." I said, "You sure it'd be hard to go back there?" She said, "Yeah, go on. He's back there at the barn." I said, "Oh, Lord, I ain't wanting to go to the barn now." But anyway, I went driving on back there. I pulled up back there to the barn, tooted the horn, and Clifford come walking out. And Brother Joe, I'm telling you before God, I'll give an account to God. This is what he said. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I can't believe you come by today." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I just started to go to the phone and called. I saw Tracy Schillinglaw about a week or two ago, and I asked him how the preacher was doing, and I just was going to call him to tell him, give me the preacher's phone number." That guy come hear me preach one time. He wasn't me. He come to hear me preach one time. This is the truth. This is the truth, preacher. And when he got to the back door, this is no joke. He had just got out of prison from killing his daddy. I always knew he killed his daddy, but I didn't know the story. He got to the back door. You could have took his shirt and wrung water out of it. I went over to where he was sitting. Some people in the church said, "Preacher, come here, come here." We went over. He was sitting about halfway back in the church. Not our church, another church I was preaching in. And there was a puddle of water in the floor where he had been over, and water had run off his face and puddled in the floor. He was under such conviction. What I'm trying to tell you, God said, if I could get the worst man in town, save this man here, if I could make him whole. The rest of us have a chance. I think if he could get the least, and get the chief, and get the thief, he could get the Indians, don't you? Amen. Yeah, man. Paul said he was the chief. I think if he could get the chief, he can get us Indians. Amen. Hello, y'all help me now. I'm just simply saying what the Lord did is he picked out the worst one in town, and he helped him to show the rest of us we got here. What's your problem tonight, sir? You say, "Preacher, I don't think God can help me." He just got the worst one. If he can get him, he can get you. Glory to God. I don't care how much dope you smoke. God can still give you some hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice this. Hey, notice, he was lost. The Bible talked about it in verse 14. After Jesus found him in the temple and saith unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more." In other words, he was a sinner. Evidently, something in his life had got him to this place, amen. And so, he was a lost man, amen. Not only that, he'd been there a long time. I don't care how long you've been lost, God can make you whole.
Amen.
We had a lady in our church about 2 years ago. She's 81 years old and got saved. I baptized her. Are you listening? It don't matter how old you are, God can save you. Yeah, he'd been there a long time. He was laying. He was lonely. Hey, you know why I know he was lonely? He said he had no man to put him in the water. In other words, he didn't have no family to help him. Is everybody listening? He evidently didn't have no friends. Evidently, he didn't have no finances that he'd have paid somebody. This man was totally broke. But God said, I can still help you, sir.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, I'll read that story about Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter's baby died. He went and took the clothes off his own baby in the casket and hawked them and went and bought liquor. Are you listening? And Mel Trotter, after that, got saved. And went all across this country building rescue missions to save old drunks like Mel Trotter. Now what I'm trying to do is magnify the grace of God. I believe the song, I appreciate y'all singing that song tonight. I don't know whether y'all helped y'all, but it sure helped me because I knew what I was going to preach, amen. But God can. Hey, he can make anybody whole, amen.
Amen
and amen. And so he gets the worst to show the rest they got help, amen. I tell you this, he uncomplicates the source of help. He said, you got to wait there till the moving of the water. Jesus come by and said, will you be made whole?
Yeah.
It ain't real complicated. You ain't got to be a theologian.
Yeah.
Here's what Jesus said. Y'all, I know it's so simple, y'all can run me out of town for preaching this simple. But I'll tell you what Jesus said. Yeah. Jesus said, it ain't real complicated, sir. Will you be made whole? You don't have to be a theologian. All you got to know, do you want to be made whole? It's got to be a desire.
Yeah.
Sir, do you have a desire to be made whole? Ma'am, if you're here tonight, would you like to be made whole? That's all you... Yeah, I'd like to be made whole. Well, just come on down. He said, would you like to be made whole? Then he gave him some direction. He said, yeah. He said, rise.
Amen.
Just get up from where you are. Matter of fact, you can do it right now. Why don't you just get up? Do you want to be made whole? Is your life a wreck? Is everything out of order? Is it just not complete? I'll tell you what tonight. If you want to be made whole, just get up from where you are. Amen. Just come on down here. Just walk. Hey, and he will make you whole. Hallelujah. Brother Ronnie Simpson preached the last revival he preached for us. We got in the service one night, I think on Thursday night. And Brother Ronnie got to a point and he said, do you need some help tonight? And he must have figured somebody did. And he stopped back and said, do you need some help tonight? And somebody, he said about 3 times. And he said, why don't you just get up and come on? It wasn't even an invitation. It was just right on about the introduction. He said, do you need some help tonight? Yeah, man. And you know what? One of our best ladies got up. I said, where in the world is she going? And she went down there and got on the altar and started sobbing. And I said, what in the world is wrong with Sister Debbie? And they called my wife over there and they took Sister Debbie and took her in a side room. And Sister Debbie got saved. If there's anybody in the church I thought was saved, it was Sister Debbie. So after weeks after the revival was over, Sister Debbie come to me and her son. I said, Sister Debbie, now tonight you got saved, did you just get confused? She said, oh no, preacher. Was no confusion that night. She said, I ain't had peace like this since I've been living. If it was anybody I would have said was saved, it would have been Sister Debbie. And by the time she started walking, Sister Vanessa got up. And Sister Vanessa come down the aisle. And I said, dear God, where's Sister Vanessa going? And Sister Vanessa walked down there. Her husband had just got saved. Not too long before that, she had prayed for him and prayed for him. Evidently, God wasn't hearing the prayers. Must have been hearing somebody else's. And Sister Vanessa went down there and said, that was Sister Vanessa. I said, dear God, they're taking her out of the room too. I said, Lord God, I hope my wife don't go down there. My point is simply this. No, if she wasn't saved, I wish she had a win.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And those two ladies got saved.
Yeah.
What? You got to be made whole. You know when you can be made whole? When you have a desire to.
Right, right.
Are you sick of the way you live it? Are you sick of the way life is? It's incomplete. I'm going to tell you what God can do for you tonight. He'll make it whole. He'll make joy. His church a joy. Amen.
Yeah.
It won't be going through the ritual. It'll be life. It'll be real. Amen.
Yeah,
yeah, man. You know what? It took me a long time. I do not want to preach to make anybody die. I hate that. I ain't going to try to confuse nobody. But I am telling you, Brother Barry, I've pastored one church for 26 years now. It took me a long time to get this point. I am afraid I am pastoring some people that are lost. I don't try to say that to confuse nobody, but I'm telling you, I'm past, they have no desire.
No desire.
They go through the motions, they go through the rituals, but you don't see no desire. You don't see no longing. You don't see no realness in their life. There's no desire for the things of God. But I'm telling you, if you get a hold, you have a desire to be made whole. Yeah, man. If you got a desire, God will give you some directions. You know what he told that man? He said, right. He told him to do what he couldn't do. The man hadn't walked 38 years. He said, rise. He'll tell you to do what you can do. Hello. He got delivered. The Bible said immediately. Yeah, man. The Bible said immediately. Hey, he couldn't walk to be whole, but after he got whole, he started walking. Amen. Amen. You know what? You didn't have, listen to this. You didn't have to teach him to walk. It just comes. You know what somebody told me? You ladies that know about, I stand to be correct. They tell me a baby will walk before it'll talk. We got a lot of talking. Hello. I want to see some walking. Maybe you ought to walk it before you talk it. Hello, hello, everybody help me now. Yeah, man. I'm simply saying, you didn't have to teach him to walk. You know most kids, you got, come on now, brother. Take two steps. Daddy catch you. And then you train him to walk. You train him to walk. This old boy, he got made whole. Immediately, he jumped up. You know what? He said, I can't believe I'm doing this. 38 years. Woo! Don't you know he got upset? Well, I declare, look what I've been missing for 38 years. No! He got up and said, woo! 38 years! Woo-hoo! I grant you, he'll be shouting while he's walking. He said, I can't believe I'm walking down to the house of God. Is everybody listening? He said, I just can't believe where my feet are taking me now. You know where he went in the first place he went? He went down to the temple of God. Jesus didn't tell him to go there. He just went down to the temple. It's amazing. It's amazing where your feet will take you when you get whole. Amen. Oh, Lord. I'm simply saying, hey, his feet took him to the house of God. Amen. You know, over there in Acts chapter number 3, while we on that, let me give you this. Acts chapter number 3, you know that story. It was going up to the temple. Bible said Peter and John went up together to the temple to have prayer. Being another, a certain man lame from mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter passed his eyes upon him with John and looked and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. There's Baptist preachers.
Yeah.
He said, we ain't got no money. There was old time Baptist preachers there. But such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You know what that man got? He got more than what he asked for. He was asking for money and got a miracle. I tell you what, Jesus will always give you more than what you ask for. And tonight I got saved. I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. He said, I'll save you from that and take you to heaven. He said, I'll save you from hell and put your family together and let you have grandchildren and let you preach the gospel. I got more than what I asked for. Woo! Help me, Jesus. Man, I got to have a new body to preach this. Amen. Hey, you know where most people are? They're still on the porch and by the pool. Bible said it was on the porch by the pool. And he left that crowd on the porch and by the pool. And he got down to the house of God.
Amen.
Remember this. You'll always be questioned when you've been made whole. Is everybody listening? Look at verse 10. I'm about through. I can't take no more. John chapter number 5. Look what he said in John chapter number 5, verse 10. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful you to carry your bed. Now, don't that sound like a religious crowd? Say, what are you doing toting that bed on the Sabbath day, sir? In other words, you're not coming up to our standards. So if you're toting that bed on the Sabbath day, what are you doing toting that? They weren't excited about it getting home made whole. They want to know why he was toting the bed. Ain't that religion? That's religion for you. You know what that happened to me? I told that story so many times. I got saved. I went and started going to that little church I grew up in. The choir director was a woman. She told my mama, she said, this is the truth. She told my mama, said, don't worry, Rachel, he'll get over it. She said, don't worry, he'll get over that excitement. Brother Hawkins, it's been 35 years. She's got amnesia now, Alzheimer's, and I'm still in my right mind. And I ain't got over. Matter of fact, it's getting better and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. As it's getting gooder, gooder, better, better. It gets better and better. Hey, one day it's going to be over and we'll be on the glory side. You know what you need tonight, ma'am? You need to be made whole.
This excitement
ain't just for the preacher.
No.
That's what they say. Oh, the preacher's supposed to be excited. He is, but you are too.
Right.
You got made whole, didn't you? You didn't get no whole, and he did whole. Is everybody listening? So I'm telling you, it's what you need. You need to be made whole. You won't be enduring this. You'll be enjoying it.
Yeah.
What happens? Hey, you get made whole. Body, soul, spirit. Everything belongs to God. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody listen. The redeemed will always encounter criticism. Mark that down. I think God allows it to see what you really got. Amen and amen. If that'll deter you, you probably didn't make it whole. If criticism is going to deter you, you probably didn't get made whole. That's what the Bible says over there in the parables when sowing the seed of the Word of God. By and by, some's offended, tribulations come, and they fall by the wayside. They never did have a root. See, they get excited. But hey, they don't have nothing to make them last. Hey, criticism, if you get criticized and it takes you out, you probably didn't get made whole. Your family's going to criticize you. I don't know why I'm preaching this tonight. Didn't have it last time I preached, it wasn't in the midst. Hey, your family's going to criticize you. You know what, my family's glad I quit drinking and running the streets, but they said, you got too much. Yeah, God, all you do is go to church, got a Bible in your hand. I mean, hey, get your wit Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you want to go somewhere else on Tuesday? Well, you drove 100 miles to hear a preacher preach? Well, you used to drive 100 miles and watch the watch cars run around. And they start there and they end up there. They start where they end. And there ain't nothing but a bunch of bear cans running around the track. Come on, y'all, help me now. And you drive 100 miles and pay $500 to get that? Hey, I got something better than that, amen? I got made whole, amen?
Yes.
Hey, redeem will go encounter criticism. Redeem will edify Christ. He said, sir, why are you walking and carrying that bed like that? He said, all I know is he told me to.
Amen.
Why are you doing what you're doing, brother? All I know is Jesus told me to.
Amen
and amen. He told him that before he knew who Jesus was.
Yeah.
Is everybody getting that?
Right.
He didn't meet Jesus until he got down to the temple and found out who he was.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? When I was a baby, I didn't know my mama's name, but I enjoyed nursing.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't know my mama's name was Rachel, but I sure enjoyed that nourishment.
Yeah.
And I grew up a little bit and I found out my mama's name was Rachel. You know, the farther you get down this thing, the more you know about Jesus. When you first get in, you don't know much about it. But the farther you get down the road, and the more you get down there, and the better. And yes, amen.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah to God. Woo! The redeemed will edify Christ. The religious will encounter confusion. Religion's going to try to confuse you. Church, I got to say this. I probably already said it. That's why you could not appreciate this place enough. Do you know there's people all over this county in churches that they don't know nothing? There's no excitement. There's no Bible being preached. And you in a place, hey, you in a place where you got saved. You in a place that you can know you saved. You know most people wonder if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. And then they wander in a place like this. I'm telling them people that are serious wander in a place like this. And their eyes get open. And they say, man, dear God, I didn't know it was like this. And they find out not only they're saved, but they're saved forever. Hey, this whole county is like our county. Confused, going to church. It's just a ritual. It's just a form. But then one day, reality sets in. And I've been made whole. Thank God. And I'm getting to a place where they'll tell me more about it. You couldn't thank God enough for this place.
Amen.
You couldn't thank God enough for your preaching today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give it this, I'm through. The redeemed will effectively confess. You know what this man, said? He said it was Jesus that did it. Now I put this in my notes. It was a wonderful day when the impotent man met the omnipotent man. It was a wonderful day when we and all of our weakness and all of our insufficiency met the one that's all powerful and all sufficient, amen. The impotent willing met the great sovereign God of the universe. Woo! Glory! Don't get excited, go preacher. Whatever you do, don't get excited. I wish I had more, but I'm true. Listen, I'm true. If he had gotten in the water, he probably never gotten in the Word. God used the troubled waters to get him there. But he got him there so he could meet the Word. Are you listening? Hey, God's troubled your waters. You know what he's troubled them for? To get you to where the Word is. The troubled waters ain't going to get you no help. The troubled waters are to get you to a place where you can be made whole.
God! Yeah.
Would you be made whole tonight? I read this story. It said a man was drowning. Lifeguard stood on the shore. The man went down. Came up. Save him! Save him, lifeguard! The man went down. Came up. They hollered, save him, lifeguard! Save him, lifeguard! The man went down and came up. Went a third time down and come up. The lifeguard dove in, went to him, rescued him, pulled him to shore. The crab went to him and said, lifeguard, Mr. Lifeguard, why did you wait till you almost drowned? He said he was too strong before that.
And when you got weak,
mercy!
See, God has to let us get weak before we can realize his strength. You're here tonight, you need to be made whole. I'm telling you, maybe you're in church and you've got help, but you ain't never been made whole. You need to come tonight. It's a desire. It's a desire. Church, I'm telling you, it ain't theological. It's just a desire. Do you want to be made whole? I'm tired of going to church, going through the ritual, going through religion. I just want to be made whole, Lord. Lord, I want my life to be complete. I want my family to be complete. You want your family to get whole. I want to be whole. I want us to serve God and go to heaven together. Let's stay and let's pray.